Pirate Nation, this is former East Carolina pitcher Davey Penny of the Keith LeClair era, class of 2003. Keep it tuned to the sports objective as you follow our Diamond Bucks on the road to Omaha, because y'all know, we're going.
Welcome in to the Super Regional Preview right here on the Sports Objective. We had a little bit of a rain delay. Okay, I'm lying. We really didn't, but it was pouring down here, so it sounded good at the time. And with us right now, we got Bubba Rosenbaum. What's up, dude?
What's going on, guys? How are y'all?
Good. We saw this fellow right here at the Regionals. He knows about rain delays and from his career and now as a former player. Eric Tyler, how are you, man?
Doing well, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm now officially a reoccurring guest.
You're like, anytime. Hey, you're welcome anytime. One of the things we love about this show is that you guys, all the sports we have, the people that have the blood, the sweat, the tears that played at East Carolina, that bleed purple and gold, you're welcome here anytime you want. And Bubba knows that. When we started doing the show 3 years ago, that was one of our goals. There's a lot of people that say, whatever happened to whatever player it is. So we think it's not, you know, you were from a recent area, but if it's somebody from Bubba can tell you, he knows like every single baseball player since at least the 60s, Bubba? 70s?
Yeah, I don't know about that, but yeah, while we're on the topic of former players, Eric, I know you were tailgating with some of your former teammates. So just talk about the guys that you saw over the weekend. And I know Coach Godwin referenced in his post-game remarks on how awesome it was, you know, when he was going through shaking the hand of every individual fan, which is something, you know, former player and not him walking around the warning track and doing that. That speaks a lot to Coach Godwin, what he thinks of Pirate Nation, but he's just talking about guys like Evan Voliva, et cetera, that were out there. So you talk about some of the teammates or, you know, just other Pirates that played in different areas that you came across.
Yeah. You know, it's a tight group. Whether you play with a group or not, you know, I walk around and I stayed with Parker Lamb and in Parker Lamb's house this weekend, which Parker lives in Greenville now. It was, you had a guy like Hunter Allen, who's now coaching at Greensboro. Bryce Harmon was in town, who he is the Phillies area scout in South Florida. Oh. So he came in, but then seeing guys like Voliva, a guy like Wiley Jackson, Wiley didn't play ACU, but he was a graduate manager for him, so he might as well have played. I'm going to leave a bunch of guys out. Sam Lanier, Zach Barnes, I saw Connor Litton. So it goes across a lot of eras, all the way back to watch the inning with Corey Scott. Always got to see that guy when I'm in Greenville. I think he's going to run for mayor here soon. I'm leaving somebody out. Jacob Wolf was there.
Chad Tracy,
talked to him. I'm sure I left somebody out.
Yeah,
is there a special section?
Cliff, actually, sorry, Dave, but Cliff mentioned that Chad Tracy was staying with him. His family is already headed down to Disney World, but he hung around to watch the Pirates win a regional and then left on Monday to get back out to Charlotte and catch a flight down to Orlando.
Hey, Eric, doesn't that sound like Bubba Rosenbaum? I mean, you know, Stacy and the kids are going to Disney. He's like, baby, I'll be down there tomorrow, okay? You hang out with Vicky for tonight, and I'll be there tomorrow morning.
Yeah,
unless we lose, we're bothered at all.
So we're excited to – obviously, we're getting ready for a Super Regional. And you know something that Cliff said in the press conference, which I thought about pre-regional, was the very fact of that stat that drives me crazy. Like, I know he was talking about it, too, about – was it 30 appearances and no, you know, College World Series appearance? But if you think about it, Eric, you're part of a fraternity that's very special at East Carolina. When you look at how the success, they don't ever talk about, okay, it's a big deal to make a regional. It's a big deal to win a regional. It's a big deal to host a regional. It's a big deal to obviously be in a super regional, to host a super regional, which we will at some point at Clark LeClair. We have done it off campus. And we will get to the College World Series in no time flat. I really believe it could be this year. You know, it's going to happen when we least expect it. And why not hey, Vandy, nobody's going to give us a chance, maybe except for Pirate Nation. The media is never going to give us a chance. It's always about, and they've earned the right. They have kind of a bubble, wouldn't you say, a dynasty going on. And Eric, Vandy, we're not taking away from them or giving them bulletin board material, no respect, but the Pirates are just as good, in my opinion.
I think 100%. And I think, you know, if you look at East Carolina program and the culture that they've built and what they're about, the trip to Omaha is better off if we're an underdog than if we're the favorite. I don't know if it's meant for East Carolina to go to Omaha and they're for the first time in a year where they're the favorite. But I can tell you, you were talking about, you know, how special it is to host regionals and go to super regionals and stuff like that. It makes me jealous every time I go watch a regional at Clark LeClair that we didn't get to host one. You know, we went to Miami and we went to Virginia. I got to experience at Texas Tech super regional at Texas Tech. But there's something special about, you know, what we saw, especially Saturday night. That was the one game I was able to go to this weekend. That place was absolutely electric. And really, I think Cliff said in the post game, but it's a huge part of why they won. You know, they were down going in the eighth inning, and that place never gave up. And you could feel it. You could feel like something was going to happen.
You know, Bubba and Eric, the very thing is, I was sitting with a buddy of mine that we went to high school and college together. He's a Pirate, and obviously we're Tigers in high school. But I looked at him. I said, hey, man, we've come a long way since Harrington Field, haven't we? We would go to different sporting events. We go to not every single baseball game back in the day, but we went to a number of them. And, I mean, it's no comparison when you think about that. And if COVID has taught us anything, it's to be appreciative and grateful of what we have. And just think about how far the program has come. I know, Bubba, you've been – going to games since you were probably what, born? I mean, but he was really small. I didn't start going until baseball games until I was in college.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate, like you're saying, Dave. Of course, I went to games back when Gary Overton was the head coach during my, you know, elementary and middle school years, and I guess early high school. But then, you know, Coach LeClair and, you know, that run that we had of hosting regionals, you know, playing in regionals and then hosting that super regional against Tennessee. I got to thinking, the only three games that I've ever missed when the Pirates have been playing in a regional or super regional at home, and that was in 2019 because of Riley's baseball when I had to miss the NC State game, and then the game two against Quinnipiac, and then the first game against Campbell. I've been very lucky to be able to attend so much.
No question about it. It's a beautiful thing, but the great thing about it is talk about Coach Godwin. You guys, I know how much he means to the fan base, but from a player's perspective of he's the kind of guy, I think he's in such good shape. I wonder if he could play right now. I mean, I know he has no eligibility, but he has, in other words, he's not going to ask you guys to do something he's not willing to do. And it's obvious how much you got. There's a mutual respect between the players and him and the coaching staff. Talk about him, and I know you have to be proud of him for all his accomplishments. I mean, having three super regionals and five attempts, you can't say 6 years because nobody played last year.
Yeah. No, it's funny you say that. I can go back to all the way into 2015, his first year there, and I can think of a summer workout. And at the end of every workout, they have what's called an MJ Challenge. So basically it's like a one-on-one competition just to get the guys going and to fuel that competitive environment. But I can't remember who it was, but somebody was put in the challenge and they said, oh, this is easy or whatever. And Cliff shoved somebody out of the way. And it was a goblet squat competition. So they had to hold a dumbbell here and see who could hold the squat the longest. And Cliff pushed him out of the way, grabbed the dumbbell or grabbed the kettlebell, and then won the competition. so there's an interesting story for you. But no, extremely proud of to be a part of the program and for what he's put together. And from my freshman year to now, it's a huge difference, and it's something that, you know, you can't argue with. And that's really.
Sorry about that. I had a little bit of a delay. Go ahead and finish your thought, and then I'll ask my question.
No, it's just one thing he preaches is the culture, and he lives it. And like you said, he's not going to ask us to do something, you know, that he wouldn't do himself, and that the players understand that. But I think one of the really special things about playing for CG is and I sent him a text a couple weeks ago to tell him this, is like, you don't realize how much you're learning until you get away from him, until you learn kind of how the rest of the world works, and kind of what he teaches you and what he instills in you is very different than what the rest of the world is going through. So just very, very fortunate to have been a part of that program and to learn what I learned.
No question about it. By the way, folks, if you want to chime in, if you're watching tonight live on Facebook or certainly Periscope on Twitter, and we have our YouTube channel, then please do so. We've got a couple comments. We'll get to you guys in just a second. I want to welcome in Mark and William to the show. Good old, but we've got Bubba. We're outnumbered. We have two Bubbas on the show right now, for sure. In fact, William says, I'm an old man. I remember standing on milk crates in the pines to watch games for free. We have indeed come a long way. Bubba, you're absolutely right. Bubba Grant, that is, because I tell this story all the time, but I'll tell that in just a second. But Mark Connor is obviously a coworker of our very own Kyle Barber. He said, I used to tell Kyle to watch Coach Dunk back in 97, 98, maybe. I was blown away. He was a beast, very athletic guy. I went to SL.
South Lenoir. I'm getting
South Lenoir, yeah. Okay. But anyway, that just tells you right. I tell you, when we used to have a host of show, and the former athletic director, Mike Hamrick, used to always take every week about, when are you going to fix the lights at Harrington Field? When are you going to fix the lights at Harrington Field? And I looked around Saturday night. Things were so loud. And I looked up and saw the lights. I said, man, we used to have people complain about that we couldn't have night games because the lights were not – the lights were bad back in the day in the 90s. And we don't have to worry about that anymore. So it's getting dark there, Bubba. We were going to talk about – let's talk some baseball, super regional. What were your thoughts coming into this week? It looks like, Eric, one good thing is that the Pirates, even as exciting as that regional was in 2019, getting those three wins, as Kyle from LaGrange said back a week or so ago, you know, guys, all you really have to do is just win five games and you're in Omaha. And it takes a lot. There, speaking of Kyle, he's backstage now. But Omaha, I wish it were that easy. But when you break it down, five games is what you have to win. So we've won three out of the five, guys.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I came on during the conference tournament and sat here and told you that winning a conference tournament was harder than winning a regional. And I'm going to tell you, winning a regional is probably a little harder than winning a super. You know, we were unlucky in the fact that we were 90 feet away and couldn't close the deal. But I think, you know, you put together a good game on Friday, and you can start to feel it, and you can start to understand what each moment means. And we played a little tense on Saturday and ran out of gas on Sunday. But it is, man. I mean, it's a weekend series. It's something, honestly, we should be a little bit more prepared for, because we fought through four-game weekend series all year. So I think it could put us through the grinder a little bit there, and we could be prepared to throw our guys for three games. Winning the first three regional helps us. You know, we didn't have to go to the fourth game. But it's about getting hot at the right time, and we've won our last three.
Welcome into the show, Kyle from LaGrange Barber. By the way, I thought you had you drank too much Sun Drop today, so you were going to miss the show. Maybe you were too drunk on Sun Drop. That's what I thought, and that's why you were not on the show with us.
No, I'm here in the Outer Banks. I did drink a lot of something, but it wasn't Sun Drop. But I'm pretty good right now. By the way, look, if you guys go to Outer Banks Brewing Station here in Kill Devil Hills, they got a drink called a mandatory evacuation. Holy crap, it'll put you on your ass. Anyway, the Supers this weekend, guys. I was looking at something. This is just something I wanted to say for the Pirate fans out there, just in case you don't want to think this way, but just in case we don't get it done, there seems to be a narrative amongst some that we choke in the Super Regionals. Well, look, and Bubba and I had this conversation. We haven't been favored to win any of these Super Regionals, so we haven't choked anything when we've lost them. I was looking at the odds today to win the national championship of the teams that are left, and our odds are really low. Vanderbilt was the fourth highest of all the teams that are left. So that goes to show you what the people in Vegas thinks about who's going to win the Super Regional. So we are coming in as a huge underdog. And it's going to be a tall task, but I think we're up to the challenge. This team is battle-tested and showed all season that they can play with anybody you put them on the field with. And I don't know. I got a good feeling. I don't know what's going to happen in Nashville. Certainly, they're Vanderbilt's the defending national champions. I mean, we didn't have a national champion last year. So they won it in 19. So they're the real deal. The Friday and Saturday night starters are unprecedented how good they are. But I just got a good feeling. I don't know why. I didn't have this feeling when we were going into the Louisville series. Of course, you know, yeah. Who knows what that really means. But I think we're going to play well. Whether that equates to us winning a Super Regional in Vandy, who knows. But I think we're going to play well.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing that I am very confident on is our – I mean, when you look at our bats, I want to ask you this, Eric, if you can help me. But it seems like a common theme is that we start off – it seems like we start off hot. This is a 2021 season, like, for the team. We start off hot for the first few innings. There's kind of a middle, like, lag where we don't score. And then, like, the other night, where it's like the seventh, eighth, ninth, or there's a few innings there where we tack on runs late and then we pull it out. Or it seems like that's just been – maybe that's coincidental. But I think if we can punch them in the mouth early, Vandy, score some runs, if I assume we're going to be the visiting team where we can bat. Who knows with NCAA, we might be the home team. But if there's a way that we could get some runs early and then you have Gavin pitching, or even if Wiz is pitching either one, you score two or three runs early in the first inning, something like that, then that would be how off to a great start. And then having the pitching of Gavin or Wiz, that would give us a good chance.
Yeah, and then it'll go home or it'll go away, home, away. Yeah, if it's what it was, you know, in 17 or whenever we went to Texas Tech. But I think I think what you brought up is scoring early and having a little bit of a lull and then scoring when it matters. I think that's kind of the mark of a good offense. You know, if you look at it, okay, so we score early, we get ahead, they understand the urgency of it. They go into a lull or whatever, and then they score late when it matters. Well, if you take out that lull and you add scoring, it's just the greatest offense in the history of baseball, right? So now they're scoring all the time. So I think to have a sense of urgency and understanding of, like, we're going to get on the board early and we're going to hit when it matters, I think that's the mark of a good offense.
You talk about that. That's the very thing that we did against Maryland in the championship game. You know, we scored two, then we added one each of the next three innings, and we're up 5 to whatever it was there after 4. And then there, when it really got down to crunch time, when things got close, you know, Zach Agnos, who was named Freshman All-American today, as well as Josh Moreland by Collegiate Baseball, Zach came through with a 2-run double to the right center gap.
Yeah, what I liked about that Maryland game is anytime they'd cut it, you know, cut it to the lead, cut it to one, cut it to two, we would answer and expand every time. They cut it to one, we'd go back up by two. They'd cut it to two, we'd go back up by three. And it was like anytime they would get any momentum, we would take it right back.
Yeah. Yeah. And that kind of takes the heart out of a team, especially in an environment like that when, you know, you're down 4 and it's like, okay, just cut it to 2, just cut it to 1, whatever it is. And you do that and you accomplish it. And then get punched in the mouth right back. I know, for us, Cliff talks a lot about shutdown innings, such as, you know, if we score a run offensively, we have to be able to go out there and put up a 0 so that we can keep the momentum in our dugout. So being able to not only score, but then throw a 0 up right behind that can play a huge factor in momentum as we're going on the road this weekend.
If you have a comment, maybe a question for Eric, let's go to Richard Allsburg. He said, great comments today by the Vanderbilt coach. Coach Corbin and Super Regionals, it's not the best team that wins. It's the team that plays the best. He has a lot of respect for ECU, and he said that he had not seen a team like ours all year. And Coach Corbin, of course, is friends with
Now, what does he mean by that, a team like ours? Does he mean how we – what does he mean by that? Obviously, they play in the SEC. He's seen great baseball. When he said it's a team like ours, does he mean how we can – play a little small ball? You know, we obviously have power hitters, but we, you know, we can bunt and play station to station baseball too. Is that what he meant?
I didn't hear all of his comments, Kyle. I was catching bits and pieces while I was helping The kids do something. So, you know, Coach Corbin talked to the media for, oh, probably at least 20, maybe 25 minutes. And then they had a couple of players, and that's up on our YouTube channel. And we also promoted it on Facebook. Go and check it out. It's about 38 minutes in total, but some very good information. But I'm guessing that that may be it, Kyle, what you referenced regarding our short game and the way we want to do things offensively. And that's something I want to get Eric's opinion on. We've touched on it before when he was on within the last couple weeks. But we'll hit on that more in a minute. But Coach Corbin, you know, like Richard said, did talk about his relationship with Keith LeClair and how they were best friends. And he just talked about that tree, you know, with him, Jack Leggett, Coach LeClair having played for Jack Leggett at Western Carolina, and then coached with him before taking over when Jack Leggett went to Clemson. And then obviously you had Eric Backich, who spent time on Jack Leggett's staff at Clemson with Tim Corbin, then went to Vanderbilt. And then obviously they played against one another 2 years ago in the title series. So I know that was very, very hard for Coach Corbin, a little bittersweet there having to compete against a close friend, much like this weekend against Cliff.
Yeah, no doubt. It's funny to be able to see Coach Corbin come out with the comment of the best team doesn't always win. It's the team that plays the best, because I've probably heard that 457 times coming out of Cliff in the 3 years of him. So that one stuck with him.
And since Eric brought that up, Dave, on that is something I'm trying to remember who asked the question, but I believe it was a member of the East Carolina media and just talked about, you know, the narrative of being the underdog, and he went on and on about that. But then Coach Corbin said, and he said, I don't want to hear that crap. he said, I don't put any stock in it. And then went on to say some of the things that Eric and Richard just said.
Well, there's no doubt about it though, that he and the Vanderbilt staff and the people that know baseball know how good East Carolina is, but there's a lot of media and some keyboard bandits that have no clue about East. They just see East Carolina, that we're not in the SEC or one of the quote unquote Power Five leagues, whatever. And so they don't know anything about East Carolina. So they're going to talk a lot of smack because they don't know. They don't know.
Well, I think if you follow college baseball, even if you're an SEC fan, and the SEC sometimes can be a bit elitist and be in their own little world, but you got to know East Carolina baseball. I mean, with the amount of regionals we've been in, and they are, and look, we are the underdog, and they are the favorite. I mean, and that would be virtually against anybody they're playing. I mean, you know, we don't got any national championship. Well, I guess we do in AIA, but we don't have any national championship trophies recently. They are what they are. I mean, they're an elite program, and what a way to get to make it to Omaha, to go through Nashville, to beat the defending national champion. That's a good way to go. You know what? And to be the man, you got to beat the man, right? Ain't that what Rick Flair
told? That's right.
Woo! Yeah, you go take care of business against Vandy. You go to Omaha, and you know, you just beat the defending national champions. Why not win it yourself?
I believe it was Cam Colmore that was talking about that in a recent press conference. And after we won on Sunday night, early Monday morning. Cam or one of the guys was just saying we're going in the front door, and there's no going in the back door.
That one's been in the program for a while. I've heard that one too.
So that very thing is that no, you know, Bubba and Kyle, we've talked about this before on the air and off, but Eric, that's when you least expect it, that's when East Carolina is going to Omaha. It's like there's nobody giving East Carolina a chance. This may be the year. I love what Cliff said. You know, he doesn't know when the year is going to be, but we're going to do it. And I love, and we have such good people behind the scenes, like Malcolm Gray, the SID, who said today on Pirate Radio, the very fact that once we, and Kyle, he was saying something you agree with, Kyle, the very fact that once we get to Omaha, then there's going to be a lot of appearances in Omaha, but there'll be some national championships, you know. That's when we'll break, once we break the seal, we go. Then we'll start going multiple times and winning some national championship.
Yeah, and part of it is we just haven't ever caught a break in the Super Regionals. And a lot of people will go, you know, well, we always choke. Well, it's not choking. When you go lose at South Carolina and you go lose at North Carolina and you go lose at Texas Tech, and yeah, you know, obviously we were really close at Texas Tech and it just didn't happen. But these are awesome programs. It's not like that. suddenly we, you know, South Florida won the regional we were paired with, and now suddenly we're hosting South Florida, and they come in here and beat us 2 out of 3. You know, it's not like we've choked in these super regionals. We haven't had an opportunity. We've had no luck. We've never had one of those times where a South Florida, like what happened in Gainesville, won the regional, and that's who we were paired with, and suddenly we're hosting it. That's never happened to us. Every time we're stuck against one of the elite programs in the country and have to battle. And so it's like was just said, if we do make it, we're going to go in the front door for sure.
No question. And Bubba, I know that we have a video today, earlier today at Clark LeClair Stadium. John Gilbert spoke to the fan base and the team and everything. Do you want to go to that?
Yeah, Corinne Dilday, wife of Brian Dilday, you know, one of the Megaphone guys, and has been a Megaphone guy since back at Old Harrington Field, mid-90s alum of East Carolina. But Corinne, who was a cheerleader during her years, and she was nice enough to provide us with this video. It's about a minute and a half with AD John Gilbert, and then we'll dive into the matchup some more.
Out shortly. It really excites me to see everyone here today. This is what makes Pirate Nation a special place. I see a lot of our athletic department staff, season ticket holders. We're looking for a softball coach. Recently, we just hired Shane Winkler as our new softball coach. We're interviewing a golf coach. And this right here is exactly what I tell them about Pirate Nation, how passionate they are, how they care about athletics, and how important you are in this community. So I just want to thank you. This is a special place. I'm really excited about coaching this team. They've overcome a lot this year. Obviously, we've had a lot of COVID to get through. We had a reduced capacity stadium. And to see what took place this past weekend, full capacity crowd, people mingling with each other, Pirates enjoying Pirate beverages, it's what this place is about. So I want to thank you for that. I want to continue to celebrate this team. They are exactly what we are all about. They're great in the classroom, they're competitive on the field, and they're really good in this community, engaged in this community. So I want to thank you all for that. I do want to turn it over to Mayor Conley, former ECU baseball player, Mayor Conley, for a few remarks.
And that's, of course, Athletic Director John Gilbert, for those listening. And, you know, it definitely was a great feeling. I tell you what, Kyle, the only thing I'm missing this weekend, I miss Kyle sitting next to me and being able to go nuts and crazy because you're one of the biggest Pirate fans. And definitely, I tell you what, when we host another regional, super region, I want you there sitting in my seats with me because that I want to get your opinion, guys, on Saturday night. Saturday night, there's been a lot of talk about how loud it was. Is that the loudest game that you've ever heard? Been a player, and now that you're there in the jungle, Eric, was that the loudest game you've ever heard at Clark LeClair?
Yeah, for me, that was the loudest I'd ever heard it, is on Saturday in that bottom of the eighth inning. That's the loudest I've ever heard our stadium, which is just a testament to the fans. You know, I wasn't able to be there on Sunday. For the regional championship, but what an environment they created. I know I was talking to you guys earlier. It was like they willed the team to victory on Saturday. So that was cool to be in.
Yeah, right there in the middle of the seventh, as we're going to the seventh inning stretch, like you're saying, Eric, you know, we just gotten, I'm trying to remember if it was, I think it was Bridges, got that final out in the top of the seventh, and what a weekend he had. Undoubtedly, the pitcher of the weekend, appeared in all three games and did a tremendous job. And when we got that final out in the top of the seventh, Pirate Nation just came to its feet and really did its part to, you know, to light a fire under the guys. And Coach Godwin referenced that in his post-game remarks, just saying, hey, without the crowd, we don't win this game.
Yeah, and I was watching it on TV, and certainly the it came across. You know, sometimes the crowd noise doesn't come across as well as it should when you're watching games on TV. But it was really loud, and good showing by Pirate Nation. You know, a lot of people were watching that game, and you know what Bubba or what Dave mentioned earlier, and maybe maybe everybody isn't as familiar with East Carolina baseball, some of the SEC or ACC programs. Well, if you're watching that game against Charlotte Saturday night, you know our atmosphere is as good as anybody's in the country. You know, I watched other games this weekend. You know, the only atmosphere I would say that was better than ours is at Arkansas. From all the other games I watched, their atmosphere is just a whole nother level. I don't know how that's that you talk about in. You talk about unified insanity, Arkansas. That's nuts. Have you guys ever watched a game at Arkansas? But besides their atmosphere, I didn't see anybody with a better atmosphere than ours.
Yeah, I didn't see all that game, the Arkansas game that you're referencing. I did see the highlights when they hit that home run, and the place was absolutely insane.
Yeah, they cheer, Bubba. They will chant things in unison, like these long chants. All, you know, I don't think the stadium holds like 10,000. All 10,000 people in these long, drawn-out cheers is ridiculous.
And then, of course, just like in football, and I'm sure basketball games as well, the pig suey, and followed up by Razorbacks, and that's a neat tradition they have.
No doubt. Speaking of traditions and fans, we're going to get the most annoying fan in the world this weekend as the Whistler at Vanderbilt. Guys, are you familiar with – oh, Jesus. Yeah.
I'm telling you, hey, Kyle, we used to tease Bub about being a closet Appalachian State fan. I think I've changed my mind as of early Monday morning when I heard we were watching that end of that Vandy game out in the parking lot, and he started doing that whistling. And then I was talking to him, driving him back to his car. He's doing the whistle. I'm like, dude, are you like a Vanderbilt fan now? But he was whistling. He does it way too well.
No, I was just trying to get on your nerves, Dave.
Well, I'll tell you what, it got on my nerves because I wanted to kill that dude. I mean, it's a great tradition. The other fans, what I don't get, like if that was an East Carolina fan, I'd want to punch him in his mouth. But thankfully, the other Vanderbilt fans really seem to enjoy it because they kind of clap right after he does a whistle in the same tune. But it drove me crazy. What an annoying ass.
He's a preacher, right, Bubba? One of them is. Well, there's two. There's.
We found out he wants. So are we going to have him on the show? I mean, I'm sure he's a lovely fellow, and he supports Vanderbilt. And I just certain things bother me. There are certain noises that just get on my nerves, and like whistling like that drives me crazy.
Can you do it again, Bubba, for a call?
No, I'll pass.
All right,
the gentleman's name. There are at least two of them, but one of the gentleman's names is Preacher Franklin.
There you go.
Well, I'm sure he's a good man, but that kind of stuff is whew, boy.
We got some comments, Bubba. Can we put on the screen? We're talking about the loudest we've ever. That's the loudest I've heard. And a good while. Bubba Grant said loudest since the 2009 regional victory against South Carolina.
Yeah, that's another time it was super loud. Good God.
It was really loud. How about Johnny Robertson? He says beating Vandy 2 out of 3 would be a tough task, but they're far from invincible in their regional. They basically had a bye against Presbyterian and two very close games against Georgia Tech. But before that, they ended their season. That's right, Johnny. 8-8. And their last final 16 games, including a win against Florida International and a one run against North Alabama, a one run win. In addition, Kumar and Leiter were not as dominant late in the season. Kumar lost his final two starts before getting a W against Presbyterian.
Well, you know what, Rocker, and that's the whole thing. I've been saying it all along. We don't have to beat Rocker and Leiter. We just got to beat one of them. If we can beat one of them, then, you know, we can win it on Sunday.
Frank Durham is laughing at the fact that he said, I'd want to punch him in the mouth, your comment there, Kyle. So you got a fan of Frank. Hey, Frank.
Well, I'm glad somebody appreciates my punch him in the mouth comment.
And Frank Durham says, Virginia Tech Hokie Gobble gets on my nerves.
Yeah, that's annoying, too. I'll tell you one of the worst ones. Houston football, their siren. I don't know what's wrong with their – have you guys ever noticed this? They have an air raid siren like we use after they score touchdowns, but it's not like a normal air raid siren. I won't say what my buddy Craig and I say it sounds like, but it's. Are you guys familiar with it, Bubba? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about, Kyle, because I used to laugh when they played at Old Robertson Stadium prior to
TD. They still use it. They still use it.
Well, when they were at Robertson Stadium, I thought it – you know, if you're listening to the game on the radio, just if you're not paying attention exactly to what's going on, whether they scored or not, like kind of like at UAB, you kind of just think maybe it's because of the part of town it's in.
No, it's horrible sounding. It is the worst sounding air raid siren you'll ever hear in your life.
Let's talk some baseball, Eric. I know that's why you're here. Appreciate you hanging out with us again tonight. Super regional preview here on the Sports Objective. Oh, there's Bubba Grant asking, what about the Mississippi State Cowbells, Kyle?
You know, the Cowbells would probably get on my nerves if I was there. On TV, it doesn't bother me. But, yeah, I would imagine if I was in Starkville, yeah, that would probably drive me crazy.
Eric, so you're the coach. Who do you start? Do you start Wisenhunt? Do you start – who do you give the ball to? Do you give it to Gavin, who's still 10-0? He didn't have his best stuff. We still win the game. Who do you give the ball to Friday at noon, 11 Central, there in Vandy?
Put me on the spot there.
that's my job.
I would throw Gavin. I'd throw your horse. The only thing that would keep me from doing that is the fact that last week Wiz threw on Friday and Gavin threw Saturday. So if you want to keep them on their schedules, then you would throw it that way again. But like you said, I don't know if there's a ton of strategy. I guess you got to kind of pick who you want more or who you think's more beatable, rocker or lighter. But I think you throw your horse on Friday as long as you're comfortable with his own. You know, throw in a day earlier. If he's not comfortable with that, then keep him Saturday. And it's the same thing. You got to win one of the days, Friday or Saturday. It doesn't matter which one it is.
Yeah, with the regional, there's obviously a lot more strategy to it. With the super regional, like you're saying, it's just a matter of, you know, Gavin did pitch on Saturday last week. But I think as long as he's feeling good and, you know, everything checking out there, I think he'll be starting on Friday at noon.
Yeah.
Do you guys yes. just let's just say we win this thing and we head to Omaha. Is that the moment? I mean, obviously that's a huge moment to get us to Omaha. But is that the moment you celebrate and the tears flow and you feel like you've accomplished your goal, or do you have that moment once we get to Omaha and see how far we can get? Just personally, How are you going to feel when if we win this weekend? Are you going to feel like mission accomplished, or you're going to feel like now we got to go win a national championship?
Well, I think you want to win the national championship. Yeah, both. You want to win the national championship, obviously. But, I mean, when you know how close we've been, just like the gentleman here on the screen with us, they're 90 feet away, what, twice? 2016, it's about – I know when I was DJing a wedding in Tarboro, and it was like 95, 96 degrees that Saturday. I had sweat down my face trying to listen to the game, trying to listen to Corey, and I'm trying to DJ at the same time. It was so wrong, but yet I thought we were so close to Omaha. I was like, I want to be a part of that history and hear that moment. You know, I won't get that moment back the first time we go, and we were so close. But what do you think, Eric, being a former player?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody on the team will tell you play to win a national championship, right? And so that's a part of our goals, you know, win 40 games, win the conference regular season, win the tournament, win regional, win a super regional, go to the College World Series, and the last one is win a national championship. So I think you play to win the game, you play to win a national championship. But I think if we win this weekend and then we go 0-2 in the College World Series and a fan complains about it, they're an asshole. And that's what
Well put.
Well said.
That's kind of like drop the mic moment there for Eric Tyler here on the Sports Objective. And the very fact that, I mean, you know, Kyle said many times on the program, we're going to be like Coastal Carolina. We're going to get in the thing finally and shock the world and win the whole thing. And I really believe with this program, you know, the way that Cliff and Jeff Palumbo, everybody coaching, I mean, they've done a nice job recruiting and Eric, this team is relatively young, especially next year, but there's so much talent on this team. It's built for years. It's not like you've got a whole bunch of seniors. A lot of guys are going to be going to the draft this year. where next year and the year after that, we're still going to be good. We're still going to be reloading 3 or 4 years down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think Jeff Palumbo does as good of a job as anybody in the country of keeping talent flowing in. And I know I used to always joke with him and CG, like, thank God I came through when I did, and thank God, you know, you guys got here when I did, because y'all would have never recruited me. We would laugh about it, but it's the fact. And that's the mark of a good program, is if, you know, you can graduate and leave, and 3 years later you look back and say, man, I'd have no shot to play for this team. You're in a good spot when it comes to recruiting. And like I said, I was fortunate enough to spend some time on the staff, and there's not a harder working or better recruiting coordinator than Jeff Palumbo.
No question.
Mike Radford chiming in, good family friend from Wilson. He's making the trip out to Nashville. He said, we're putting together some noisemakers that they had fun with and worked up in Cincinnati. He said, stay tuned. He says 400 Pirates behind this team, being loud and rowdy. Obviously, you have Hawkinsville there at Vanderbilt, seats about 3,700 or so, give or take. And I think it will actually be more, probably like 600-700 Pirates. And who knows? That's just the tickets through ECU. I think it's 600. And then and obviously we could get some through Vanderbilt or other sources as well.
I tell you what I want to hear, Eric, is when we beat Vanderbilt that first game, because I mean, whenever we win the first game, I'll put it that way. I want to hear for our Pirate fans there, Mike Radford and everybody there, please do a purple gold cheer. That would be very emotional for me, because I love that cheer, just like this past weekend. But that's like when we beat State several years ago in Raleigh, and hear the purple gold cheer at Carter Finley. The same thing with Hawkins Field. That would be great for me. So I would like to put in my request for the purple gold cheer when we win that first game, whenever it is in Vanderbilt.
Hey, and you know, Pirate fans, we were talking today with Kevin Ingram, not the former Pirate quarterback, but the play-by-play voice, the radio play-by-play voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores. And that interview can be heard on YouTube as well as Facebook. So go and check that out, about 20 or 25 minutes. But one of the things that he brought up when I was asking him, you know, some of the logistics for Pirate fans making the trip, about parking around Hawkins Field, so on and so forth. He said the best place to park is the deck. And I don't recall the name of the deck, but he just said that in that parking deck, a lot of fans will watch the game. So, hey, if you're on the fence and, you know, you can't get a ticket, you just want to get away for the weekend and go out to Nashville, and then you may be able to watch it from the parking deck and, you know, get some purple gold cheers and have fun watching Pirate baseball from outside Hawkins Field.
Yeah, that was 20. Was it 24th Street, Bubba? Somewhere around there.
Yeah,
it's in the right field
corner. Listen to
it's
the interview. Right.
Yeah, just listen. That's a nice tease. But I know he said it was in the right field corner there, and that if you're on the, like, the first few decks, you know, the their rows, if you will, that you can still watch the game. And there's a lot of Vandy fans that are tailgating, and he said they'd be nice to us. So I don't know about all that, but
does anybody know? We got. We'll get the question on screen there first.
Question.
Yeah, we have
Eric.
A question from Richard Allsbrook. He's just talking about playing on field turf versus natural grass. So, Eric, just touch on that a little bit.
Now, this is actually a really good question, because in 17, when we went to Texas Tech, typically before regional and super regional, you get one practice day. So if you're playing Friday, you know, you'll go down and either take Thursday morning, and then you'll practice there Thursday. We were fortunate enough where, you know, we went down 2 days ahead at Texas Tech. And they had just put new turf down, so we got two practice days. And I remember taking the first ground ball off that new turf, and a ball that I thought was coming here was over my head. And I remember thinking, thank God we're here 2 days ahead. Like, thank God we get 2 days of this. I prefer playing on turf better. I think any infielder would tell you that. But each turf is different. So I think getting the guys out there and learning how it plays, and I think that's a big deal. But if anything, you know, we play pretty fast, so it'll help us play faster. But like I said, that was an interesting story from Texas Tech of getting that first ground ball and being like, you know, thank God we have a little extra time out here.
You know, for the life of me, I don't understand why these schools in the South, Tennessee, North Carolina, Texas, in football and in baseball have switched to these field turf fields. I just don't get it. I get it up north, but in the South where you should have no problem growing turf, why anybody would want to play on rubber?
It's just the upkeep of the field, and that's something I agree with you, Kyle, you know, from a fan standpoint. And then, like Eric said, obviously a lot of players, like, and particularly infielders, I love the artificial surface. But yeah, it has a lot to do just – and obviously there is, if you don't know anything about the upkeep for the artificial surface with the rubber pellets, those have to be, you know, added to the surface every so often, and the field still has to be drug, even though it's artificial. There's a lot more to it, but it's still easier to take care of than a natural field.
Well, you know, I hope we don't ever switch to it in Granville. But, you know, I was going to ask earlier, I don't know if any of you guys are very familiar with Nashville. We got any suggestions for any of our fans going down on, obviously, you're going down for the Super Regionals, but except for country music, anything to do, anywhere to eat. I always hear lots about Natty B's Hot Chicken. You know, Nashville Hot Chicken seems to become a national thing now, so I'm sure getting the real thing would probably be a good choice. Anybody know anything else that you should check out while you're in Nashville besides the obvious things?
Yeah, they have, as far as down on Broadway, there's a lot of great things to do. Plus, there's a lot of great restaurants, including the one thing I remember, Kyle, is have more. It's more of a Memphis style barbecue, not the barbecue. We talk about barbecue a lot on the show, but
sure,
it's more of a Memphis style barbecue that they have there. That's really, really good. I remember that. Great atmosphere. People are the thing I love about Nashville. Even though it's a big city, it has a small town flavor. The people are extremely friendly there. I don't know how the Vandy fans will be with ECU, but the Nashville people have always been nice. I go there. I haven't been there in a few years, but I went there a lot with country radio, and the folks there are just everything that you can think about. Anything that you would want to do was country music. If it's not, they if you want to party, you go to Second Street anywhere there or on Broadway, and hopefully our players or coaches are not going down there. But if you're a fan and you're looking for something to do after 4 or 5 o'clock each day, then I would highly recommend that. There's the Opry. There's all the stuff you think about, Country Music Hall of Fame. There's usually games going on, like Nashville Predators. You don't have to worry about that because they're not in the Stanley Cup playoffs, nor unfortunately my Hurricanes anymore. But there's always stuff like that to do, sporting events and definitely country.
We have a couple of viewers chiming in on Facebook. William Grant, Bubba chimes in, 25th Street parking deck. So you were a street off, Dave. That's where, you know, Kevin Ingram from Vanderbilt to advise Pirates to park. And then also Mark Calloway says, hey, Dave, I sat 2 rows behind you and your wife at the regionals. You made some good noise. Go Pirates. But Eric, a few minutes ago, I mentioned, obviously, Coach Godwin and the staff, they really, you know, like to bunt in a variety of ways, you know, whether it's drag bunts, push bunts, safety squeezes, suicides, so on and so forth, and hitting and running, running and hit. Just talk about all of that stuff. And, you know, when you're facing top flight arms like Kumar Rocker and then also Jack Leiter, you're not going to hit the ball all over the ballpark. But, you know, doing things with our short game to put pressure on that Vanderbilt defense.
Yeah, you know, I think we have a well-rounded offense, and to be honest, it's growing extinct in baseball, and it's getting into the college game. But I think you're going to see a lot of that with Coach Corbin's Vanderbilt team. You know, they do a lot of things the right way as well. You're going to see a lot of bunts, a lot of drags, a lot of hit and runs. They like to put pressure on the defense just as well. So it's going to be an exciting game. You know, it's going to be a high intensity game with a lot going on, but I think anytime you put pressure on the defense, and especially when you're going against an ace, you know, when you go against ace, you're open for, you know, walk, sack bunt, hit and run, 3-run home run occasionally, right? And so I think we have the right combination of the guys that can move the baseball and do what they need to, but also the guy that can run into a mistake 3-run home run, and that's going to change the game. You know, it only takes one pitch hanging in the wrong spot for us to change the game. So I think the well-roundedness of the offense can put some pressure on the defense pretty quickly.
No question. And you were the one thing about, to me, when I hear about people not wanting to do the short game bunting, but that's to me a fundamental of the game, that you're taking away a tool out of your toolbox is the way I look at it. And guys with the football team, it reminds me of like Steve Logan. He would have all these different trick plays and all kinds of stuff. And that's kind of like the way for me when I see stolen bases and different things, being aggressive. Cliff Godwin is really good at that. And when you're talking about the safety squeeze, any kind of thing like that going on, or a squeeze, anything, that stuff keeps you, keeps the defense honest, right, Eric?
No, absolutely. And I think as a pitching staff, we always talk about, you know, not giving up a crooked number. So we're okay giving up one because we're going to score with that. And one thing Coach Gowan preaches is, you know, get it to five runs. So if we have to manufacture, you know, five innings of one run each inning, that's what we're going to do. And we feel like that puts us in a position to win. But yeah, I think you want to have any tool in your toolbox you can, whether it's a drag bunt or a safety squeeze or whatever it is. And, you know, 1 through 9, if you're going to hit at East Carolina, you're going to be expected to do those things.
One of the other things that Kevin Ingram brought up today when we had that conversation, he was saying that the Vanderbilt ballpark, Hawkins Field, is pretty deep to the alleys. And the numbers reflect that, obviously, tremendous athleticism and talent on that Vanderbilt roster. And those guys run very well. And you look at their numbers, 123 doubles and 20 triples.
Yeah, they got some guys that can move a little bit. I know Enrique Bradfield, their center fielder, who was freshman of the year in the SEC, he's probably the fastest player in the country. And so whether it's him out in the center, you know, roaming the gaps, or him slapping one and getting a triple out of it, he can move and he puts a lot of pressure on guys. I think he hit like 360 as a freshman in the SEC.
And he stole 46 bases.
Yeah, he can move a little bit.
Guys, one of the things that I saw on Facebook today is I know that I sent you guys that very thing, was a very fact of a gentleman. I'll come to him in just a second. I'll look his name up. But a lot of great – he put a lot of great stats up about the Pirates and Vanderbilt and the different super regional teams. And I'll tell you what, the only one that I saw that there was a little bit of discrepancy between, like, it was the home runs. I think they had something like Vanderbilt had like 88 home runs and we had maybe like 75. But, I mean, other than that, it was very close on just about every category. Right, Bubba?
Yeah. If you give me a moment, I'll bring those up.
Okay. But anyway, I wanted you to see that, Eric, and I wanted to see Pirate Nation to – I want to give credit to that gentleman. I'll do it just a second. But the very fact that for all the people, it is – I'm not taking anything for granted. I'm not – saying that they're not a good team, but all I'm saying is if you look at our numbers, if you go by stats, it's going to be a really tight game, and it's going to be a lot tighter than what people think. It's not going to be like we're just happy to be there and we're going to get blown out. I mean, that could happen, but if you look at the stats on paper, it's a lot closer than what people think.
Yeah, some of those numbers that you referenced, Dave, and we'll talk about some of the other super regional matchups here.
Yeah, we lost you, Bubba. I was going back to look in that gentleman's name, if I can put my hands on it. But
can y'all hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. Yeah, as far as number of wins, you know, taking a look at it, East Carolina ranked 5th out of the remaining 16 teams, only Arkansas, Texas, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt. Arkansas, Tennessee, Texas, and Texas Tech have more wins. Vanderbilt actually has, I believe it's 43 wins. Also, there was another one that stood out. Team batting average, East Carolina and Vanderbilt are tied with a 300 batting average. Only Arizona with a 327 batting average is greater.
And I know our ERA, Bubba, was a little bit higher, not too bad, but a little bit higher as far as the team pitching was maybe four.
I believe we were tied with USF, tied for eighth in ERA out of the 16 super regional teams.
And I think they had something like a 3.4 something for ERA. It's not like it's a huge, huge – I mean, that's a little bit of a difference, but not like – but that gentleman's name is Don Skinner. If you want to read all those, it's on the ECU baseball group that I saw, Facebook page or group. So I wanted to make sure anytime we have something like that, we want to give him credit because it was a lot of cool things. Eric, what's your gut feeling? Do we win one game? Do we win two games? Do we go to Omaha? How are you feeling about going into the weekend? I know there were a lot of us in 2019 that were kind of holding our breath the way that the Pirates had to come back and come out of the loser's bracket. They had to play about four games, I think, in 48 hours. It was crazy. We do it, but we didn't have a lot left in the tank for Louisville. This time around, we won three straight. We have that, I mean, literally a day. I mean, look at Virginia. Some of these teams, they were still playing, yesterday. It took till yesterday to win. So they had 2 days behind, if you will. But the Pirates, I think, are healthy, and they obviously took care of business, and they were in good shape like Vandy. They don't have – Vandy doesn't have an advantage there as well.
I believe Eric may have frozen up on us.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately, but we'll see if we can get him back here in a second. But I knew he was not in deep thought with that question, but that comment. But what do you think, Bubba? What's your gut feeling? I know we're going to wrap up the show here in a little bit. What is your feeling on how the Pirates will do in Nashville this weekend?
I think we're going to go out there. It's going to be a different story than what it was in 2019 up at Louisville. I really believe that. I won't make a prediction just yet, but I mean, I think the Pirates will go out there and we'll give Vandy everything they want. And I really think that it's going to go three games. I do. I think we'll find a way to win one of those first two and get it to a must, you know, winner take all situation on Sunday afternoon at 3:00. But hold on, very quickly, Mark Calloway chimed in. He said, "Let me rephrase my earlier comment about Dave. You were cheering like a true Pirate. Myself and friends were very impressed."
Thank you. I think it was.
I believe Eric's back with us now.
He is. I was very emotional, Mark, and a lot of Pirates were. And I knew that we had an advantage if we cheered very extra loud. And my voice has suffered the last few days, but I took one for the team because I wanted my team to win. And there's a lot of Pirates out in the jungle and all over that were just as loud. But thank you for the compliment. It means a lot.
Talking about some of the other regionals very quickly, you have another in-state team in North Carolina State going out to number one Arkansas. What do you guys think about that matchup? We were talking about the atmosphere a little bit earlier at Baum Stadium.
Arkansas is the number one team, and I think NC State is they got the bats going, Ruston, especially that – what was that, Sunday night, I guess? And just the fact that we're – it could be a dangerous team overall. I mean, Arkansas is really good. You got it home. I like Coach Avan. I think he's a good coach, but I would give my edge to Arkansas. You never know, but I would say Arkansas in that one. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, you know, NC State's hot at the right time, but Arkansas is the consensus number one team in the country for a reason, and they got pushed in their regional by a good Nebraska team, and State kind of ran through theirs down in Ruston. You know, hard to pick against Arkansas. Definitely not going to pick against Arkansas when it comes to NC State.
Yeah, I agree. I think you mentioned the job Nebraska did forcing a game seven in that Fayetteville regional. I think NC State will give Arkansas everything they want. They're very hot, but I do think they'll come up just shy of advancing Omaha. I think Arkansas in three. Take a look, Tennessee, what a weekend, a tremendous regional there in Knoxville. They had the walk-off grand slam, a comeback victory, and trailing 8-5, 9-8 over Wright State. Very good atmosphere there in Knoxville along the river. And then what a story with LSU battling out of the loser's bracket to take down one of the top 16 seeds in Oregon.
I'm sorry, I was just laughing at the Bubba Grant's comment that just came out on Facebook. But, yeah, I mean, Arkansas's atmosphere is crazy. Bubba Grant says, I'll take the Whistlers hands down. Can you do some whistling for me, Bubba?
And then, you know, another regional that I'm very interested in, because there had been a lot of smack talk on social media. It seemed like, and I heard the D1 baseball guys talking about it, Mike Rooney and company, Aaron Fitt, just saying, I don't know what it is, but, you know, the Mississippi State fans did not like Notre Dame and Link Jarrett's ball club, you know, being considered for a top 8 seed. So, hey, they'll get to settle it on the field this weekend down in Stark, Vegas.
Oh, man, that, I tell you what, with those condominiums, Eric, I tell you what, that atmosphere and Ole Miss and Mississippi State, LSU, there's a lot of great places in the SEC. But, man, Mississippi State, oh, my goodness, that's going to be a really good super region.
Yeah. What a job Link Jarrett's done there at Notre Dame in just a little over 2 years. I mean, taking them from, you know, a place where nobody would consider a baseball school to now in contention for a top 8 and playing at a super regional. He's done an unbelievable job up there.
Yeah, just right off the top of my head, this is the first time you've really heard that much out of Notre Dame baseball since several years ago, you know, back, I guess, probably a decade plus when Jeff Samardzija was there playing wide receiver and pitching for the Fighting Irish.
Yep.
How about with Backage and Snobble, Michigan, 2 years ago, and then you have Notre Dame now? I mean, all the bias of, you know, that North teams can't win, you know, Northern teams can't, like it was said, Bubba, and then, I mean, here we are. I mean, Notre Dame, everybody thought Louisville was going to be so good this year in the ACC, and Notre Dame has been really, really good. And I tell you what, that's going to be – you're right, Bubba. That's another wow, that's another super regional that's going to be – really, really good. We got it. That's why there's a reason, Eric, isn't that right? There's a reason why these are super regional matchups, because most of these teams are not just happy that they got here. They're happy because they do it every single year.
Yep. Yeah. There's no cupcakes once you get here. And really, once you get to the regional, there's no easy games. But when you're in the final 16, they're there for a reason. And they're there because they've put a body of work in across 60 games and then got hot at the right time. So, that Mississippi State and Notre Dame was going to be a good one. Notre Dame scored, what, over 35 runs this weekend?
Yeah, they really took care of business in that South Bend regional. I thought UConn may give them some issues, but not the case, not whatsoever. But another one that I wanted to mention, we talked about Mississippi State. And before I move on to what took place in Oxford and down in Starkville, you had we already talked about the outcome, but I want to give, you know, tip of the hat to Justin Hare's ball club, Campbell. They gave Mississippi State everything they wanted. You know, lost 7-6 and had them. They forced Mississippi State to bring in their stud closer and pitch the last three innings. So another tremendous season for the Fighting Camels. But, you know, up in Oxford, what a regional that was. Southern Miss took Ole Miss down to the wire, and then Ole Miss won, I want to say it was something like 12-9 in the final game, game 7, at Swayze Field. And they're headed out to play one of the top offenses, or maybe the top offense in college baseball, Arizona, and it's batting about 330 with about 100 and, I don't know, I think maybe 120 home runs or something ridiculous.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of offense in that regional. I think Arizona's a team who, out on the West Coast, they don't get a lot of hype, a lot of talk when it comes to college baseball. They got two freshmen that are in the Golden Spikes Awards watch list. Like, they can really swing it. Anytime you got to go to West Coast on a super regional, it's going to be a little difficult on you.
Another interesting matchup is when we talked about Texas Tech, and when you guys went out there in 2016, they are hosting Stanford. And, you know, I know Aaron Fitt thought a lot of that Stanford ball club. Did not get to see much of that regional. I think they took down UC Irvine in the regional final. But you had Stanford, you know, that did so well in the Pac-12. It's going to be an interesting matchup with the Red Raiders out of the Big 12.
Yeah, I don't know much about the Stanford Ball Club. I know Texas Tech's good again, as always. Jace Jung, whose brother Josh was on the team a couple years ago. I don't think he was on the team in 17, but he's got 20-something home runs as a freshman. He's another Golden Spikes watch list. So, again, these super regional mashups, you're going to see a lot of offense, but you're also going to see the main difference you're going to see as opposed to, you know, 5-6 years ago is, you know, the seventh guy out of the bullpen for all these clubs, you're going to throw 94-plus. So you're going to see some electric arms and a lot of offense. So it's a fun weekend to be on the couch and watching some baseball games.
No question about it. I'm very happy to have Friday off from work so I can see the first game and the Pirates. And I don't have anywhere to be, anything to do so during the day. So that's going to be nice. I'll be able to keep my job. The productivity will be – I don't have to worry about that on Friday other than the productivity of yelling and screaming at a TV and praying that we could somehow – beat the Commodores, beat Vandy boys, and hopefully we can do that, right, Bubba?
Yeah, no doubt. And the only super regional that we have not mentioned, if I'm not mistaken, is the one that's taking place. Get this, guys, you know, down at yeah, Founders Ballpark in Columbia, and you know, in the home of the South Carolina Gamecocks. And Virginia came out of there, won an absolute thriller in 10 innings. You had, I believe it was maybe the starting pitcher for UVA came in and hit a walk-off jack to the left center gap. But unbelievable game. A shame it was played in front of tens of people, literally. But UVA is going to be hosting, if you will, Dallas Baptist. And that Dallas Baptist program, this isn't their first rodeo. They've been in a super regional before. I want to say they hosted Texas in a super regional in the last several years.
Yeah, that's kind of the redheaded stepchild of the super regionals. There's going to be, again, tens of people in Columbia, which is a shame for those clubs because one of them deserved to be able to host. Unfortunately, they're not able to because of, you know, NCAA and COVID procedures. But selfishly, I'm looking forward to that region because, as you know, I'm in player development when it comes to baseball. Dan Heefner, the head coach at Dallas Baptist, is one of the most forward-thinking college coaches in or baseball coaches in college baseball, and they do some really cool outside the box things in that program. So looking, pulling for him, hoping they get in the College World Series. They've been close in the past couple of years. I think they're going to knock through the door.
Yeah, I tell you what, this, you know, COVID has brought a lot of crazy stuff. Maybe it's a year for East Carolina and Dallas Baptist. Who knows? That's for sure. But I tell you what, going to be great. Great time. Obviously, want to mention to make sure that everybody watches. And by the way, Bubba, want to mention, sure, we promo our content coming up. Obviously, we also have the stuff that we've done over the last couple of days, right?
Yeah, earlier today, you and I talked to Kevin Ingram. We've mentioned that conversation a few times during the show, but go to our YouTube channel or Facebook page and check that out. Had about a 25-minute conversation, a lot of good information there about this week's opponent. You know, he just had glowing remarks about Cliff Godwin. And he said anybody that knows anything about college baseball knows the program that East Carolina has and the dogfight that Vandy will be in for on this weekend or this weekend. And in addition to that, we had, probably about 35 or 40 minutes of a presser with Vandy head coach Tim Corbin, and then also their first baseman, Keegan, and their catcher, Rodriguez.
Yeah, a lot of great content as we're getting you ready for the Super Regional this weekend. In fact, by the way, fans, if you're wondering, Corey Glore from the radio side of things, he's actually going to be on, 11:45, Bubba, for the pregame show. So make sure that you're listening to that on the TuneIn Radio app, doing that. And Frank Durham asked the question, why didn't UVA be able to select Clark LeClaire? We don't have Coach O, Bubba, but I would guess the rules would be that whatever regionals are already still going on. Is that?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know if that had anything to do with UVA playing its regional in Columbia or what. But, yeah, there had been some discussion, you know, if the right teams won, you know, if NC State had or they obviously did win, but they're paired with Arkansas, had Nebraska come out of there. Could you see NC State hosting Nebraska at Clark LeClair Stadium? I'm glad that didn't happen. But also the talk with Old Dominion. Could Old Dominion potentially be hosting Dallas Baptist at Clark LeClair?
Yeah, I was going to say if NC State were hosting, they're like Nebraska. How many Cornhusker fans would come out? Out of the woodwork, so to speak, and pull against Wolf. I'm just joking, but yeah. So we're gonna have a lot of great content. We'll also have extra innings. I promise we'll do that this weekend, and hopefully we can be talking about. By the way, Next Level Training Center. I want to give a shout out to Trent Britt, as he does a great job. NextLevelTC.com. If you're watching live right now, 252-756 next. I want to give a shout out to him. My son Alexander made the All-Star team, his first ever All-Stars. He made it. He went back preseason to a clinic there, and Trent worked with him, and I know all the staff there. So thank you. I'll give them a shout out because as a dad and coach, his son, you'll get the opportunity. And it was really cool in Farm League to have my son make the All-Star team. So thanks to Trent Britt for that. I want to give him a shout out. Eric, ET, man, thank you so much for your time. I know that you, it's a lot of fun having you on, and I'm just praying really hard for the Pirates this weekend, and hopefully we can have you back at some point and have a lot of smiles, a lot of former players chiming in that we made it finally to Omaha.
Let's do it a third time. You know, we did it before the regional, now before the super regional. Let's do it one more time. But I appreciate you guys having me on. I enjoy it, and I'm welcome to do it anytime.
All right. Thanks, man. Hope you have a great evening, and we'll see you back very soon.
Awesome. See you guys.
All right. See you. All right, great show there from Frank Durham. Thank you so much. Always a good time, he says. Bubba, do you have anything before we go? You're on mute, my friend.
Just looking forward to this weekend's games. Obviously, I'll be here before you know it. It's hard to believe that it's already Wednesday evening. So before you know it, it'll be noon, and first pitch will be here on Friday. I'm looking forward to it. Tremendous pitching matchup right out of the gates. I feel certain it'll be Gavin Williams and Kumar Rocker.
Oh, my gosh. That is thinking back of the day, all the heavyweight fights. That's like for college baseball, that's the ultimate thing for there. Thank you, Mark Calloway and Frank. And I know that Bubba Grant, Richard Allsbrook. There's been a lot of fans tonight watching and listening. Thank you so much for that. Bubba, do you, what's your prediction? You think we'll go to game three and then winner take all on Sunday? You talk about a lot of people go to church, they come home, and they hopefully we can watch the Pirates win a big one, man.
Yeah, no doubt. I think I just have a gut feeling. I think our Pirates are going to go out there and give Vandy everything they want. Obviously, it's a different animal. This is the postseason, but, you know, South Carolina went out there. They nearly took a series. Georgia did take a series and wasn't all that far away from sweeping a series. So if we play the way we can play, we'll be in a good position to make history.
No doubt. And another thing, too, I think it's going to be a tight game, or tight games, plural. And having said that, we can't have any errors, unforced errors, that kind of stuff with our defense, because if we do, Vandy's gonna make us pay, and that could be one or two plays as far as not only pitching but hitting, but also the defense. The Pirates are so good, and hopefully that won't take place. I would love it to see where it's air-free baseball and we just punch them in the mouth and win by several runs, but probably not going to happen. As far as probably going to be a tight game and definitely not a blowout by other team. All right. Appreciate Eric Tyler, man. Bubba, as always, thanks for your hard work behind the scenes, producing and before the show and after the show. And we'll look forward to a big series. And hopefully, fans, we have something to cheer about. Like I said, on our Sunday with our extra innings, we'll talk to you again next time. As always, we love the Pirates. Good luck this weekend to them. And Nashville, and as always, go Pirates. Good night, everybody.
Go! Hey, Pirate Nation, this is former East Carolina pitcher Davey Penny of the Keith LeClair era, class of 2003. Keep it tuned to the sports objective as you follow our Diamond Bucks on the road to Omaha, because y'all know we're going.